Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
It is so good to see you here this morning. My name is Tim Park. I serve as our lead pastor. If you are a guest today, or if this is your first time here at our church, we're so thankful you're here. And my hope is this, and I trust that you'll experience the warmth of Jesus in this place during your visit. Well, the title of this morning's message is, Who Are My Mother and Brothers? Who are my mother and brothers? We're going to be in Matthew 12 today, verses 46 to 50. And I thought, well, it's Mother's Day. You know, what should I preach on Mother's Day? As I thought about what I could share, not only to encourage moms, but to encourage all of us, I came to this passage in Matthew 12, where Jesus asks the question, Who is my mother? And who are my brothers? Now, Jesus asked a lot of questions during his time here on earth. And the Gospels, they provide a lot of these questions for us. Questions about life, about purpose, about Jesus himself. And we know that Jesus posed these questions not because he lacked the answers, right? We know that. He posed these questions to teach us and to guide us toward the truth and to engage with us personally. So today on Mother's Day, we're going to explore a question that Jesus asked about his own mother and about his own brothers. And before we turn to our passage for today, I do want to take a few moments to kind of reiterate what Pastor Daniel mentioned earlier on. Mother's Day can evoke all kinds of emotions. All kinds of emotions. It might be a day filled with joy and gratitude. We love our moms, we celebrate them, we appreciate them, we thank God for their love and their support of us in our lives. We also recognize that today can be filled with sadness and also longing. I look out and I know some of you have lost a mom in recent days, in recent years. And so today is also a reminder that there's an empty seat at your table. Some long to be moms, and so today can be a painful reminder of that reality. And also, there are moms here who have strained relationships with their kids or a child. Or maybe you as a child have a strained relationship with your mom. So I recognize that today is a day filled with all kinds of emotions, and there's a mix of emotions. And the reason why today, Mother's Day, is a day filled with all kinds of emotions is this. For this one reason, family is complex. Isn't that? Family is, it's just complex. There's no such thing as a perfect family. And the reason why I know, as I look out there, the reason why I know that there's no perfect family is this. Because you and I are part of our families. So the reality is there is no perfect family because you and I, as imperfect people, we are part of our very families. In today's passage, Jesus will talk about family relationships. And he's going to invite us to see family in a whole new way. So I'm excited to dive into today's passage. Jesus is going to invite us to see family, to look at the concept of family in a new light. So I'm going to invite you to turn to Matthew 12. And I'll read to you verses 46 to 50. Matthew 12. Starting in verse 46, it says this. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, Your mother and brothers are standing outside and they want to speak to you. He replied to him, Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And pointing to his disciples, he said, Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So here's the scene. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus had healed a man who was blind and mute. He performed this miracle, and the crowds marveled at this healing. But there was one particular group who was not happy. One group that did not rejoice with the others. This group was the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they saw Jesus, they saw his ministry of teaching and healing, and they concluded, you know what? He's using demonic power to bring about these healings. So the Pharisees, they were unhappy with Jesus. And this was kind of like the culmination of their persecution of Jesus. So in that room, on that day, there was a shift in Jesus' earthly ministry. From that moment on, because of what was taking place and the persecution from the Pharisees, Jesus made the intentional decision to shift his focus. And from that moment on, he began to prepare his disciples for his journey to the cross. It was there in that room on that day. And we're told that Jesus' mom and his brothers were there, and they sent a message to him. Now, we know this much. Jesus had a big family. He had at least four brothers, at least four that are named in the Gospels. And he had at least two sisters. And so Jesus was part of this big family. And like any normal family, his family had its share of family drama. If your family has ever had drama, don't raise your hand. Good, see? That's all of you. We've all had our share of family drama. Every single family. There's no perfect family here this side of heaven. And Jesus' family was no different. He had his share of family struggles. And throughout his time here on earth, did you know that Jesus was often misunderstood by his own siblings? So if you've ever been misunderstood by your family, just know that you're in good company. Jesus was misunderstood by his own brothers and sisters. Now, when we look at another account of the same scene in Mark's account, we read a very fascinating detail that Matthew doesn't include. So we just read Matthew's account. Now, I want to read to you Mark's account of this very same scene. In Mark 3, starting in verse 20, it says this. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. So, Mark presents to us a whole new element here in this scene. Jesus' brothers thought that he was out of his mind. They thought that he had gone mad. I'll get to that in a minute. But Mary, his mother, was also there. And we're told that Jesus was so busy ministering, he didn't have time to even eat. So, can you blame Mary, his mother, for being concerned about her son? I can't. Right? Because what mother in her right mind would not step in to make sure their child is eating? You know, in many cultures today, the first thing a mom asks is, have you eaten? In so many cultures around the world, the first thing the mom asks is, have you eaten? So if you go and visit your mom, hi mom, I'm here, have you eaten? Even if you call your mom on the phone, hi mom, how you doing? Fine, have you eaten? Did you eat dinner today? And it's like 9 p.m. Yes, I've eaten. So it's not hard to imagine that Mary was so concerned about her son Jesus. And keep in mind, Jesus was a grown adult at that time. But isn't it true, moms? You never stop being mom. Isn't that true? Moms never stop being moms, no matter how old your child is. Moms never stop being moms. And so I can't blame Mary for being concerned about her son. But then, let's talk about Jesus' brothers. They said, our brother Jesus has gone mad. He's out of his senses. Now, why would they say that? Well, the reason why Jesus' brothers at that moment in time could not understand what he was doing, the reason why is they weren't seeing things through a spiritual lens. That's important for us to understand. Jesus' brothers at that moment, they were not seeing things through a spiritual lens. At that point, they didn't even believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They didn't acknowledge that he was the King of Kings. They didn't believe in him. And so his brothers, at that moment in time, they were looking through the eyes of the world, not through faith. And it's possible that maybe some here, you've experienced that similar situation where maybe you have people in your life that sometimes question, why do you spend so much time and energy and resources because of your faith? Why are you always at church? So it's possible that some of you have loved ones who can't understand why you are so devoted to your faith. Well, that's because, again, spiritual things don't make sense to the natural mind. Spiritual things do not make sense to the natural mind. And so when Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? We know that he was not confused. He wanted to use that moment to teach a deeper truth. The religious leaders, they believed that their place in God's kingdom was secured because of their good deeds and because of their lineage. In particular, because they were connected to Abraham. The Pharisees said, hey, our good deeds and our lineage, it guarantees our spot in God's kingdom. But from the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus taught that entrance into God's kingdom comes by repentance and a relationship with God. Not by bloodlines. Not by earthly relationships. Not by good deeds. But by repentance and a relationship with God through faith in his Son. You know, being born into a Christian home does not automatically make one a Christian. Being born into a pastor's home or a missionary's home does not guarantee that person is a Christian. Attending church every week does not make you a Christian. Ministering at church does not make you a Christian. Even going on a missions trip does not make a person a Christian. It's all about a relationship with God. And so at that moment, Jesus points to his disciples and he says, here are my mother and brothers. He says, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And church, what we need to understand is this. In that moment, when Jesus asked the question, who is my mother and who are my brothers? This was an invitation. It was an invitation to see family in a whole new light. Now, this doesn't mean that Jesus dismissed the beauty and the importance of earthly families. Not at all. Jesus understood that family is a gift. Our families, as difficult as they may be, they are gifts from God. And Jesus honored that gift throughout his life. But in that moment, he was making it very clear that it's eternal relationships that last. Eternal relationships, not earthly ones. And that is why the family of God, that title, is such a fitting title for the church. The family of God. Now, this much is true. Every single person has been created in the image of God. Every single person. So whether that person believes in God or not, everyone has been created in the image of God. But did you know that not everybody who's been created in the image of God can be called a child of God? Entrance into God's family comes about by repentance and a relationship with him. Only those who have entered into an eternal relationship with God through faith in his Son are truly part of God's family. And so when Jesus asked, who are my mother and brothers? He was not simply posing a question. He was offering an invitation to belong to the family of God by trusting in Him. And Mother's Day is a good time for us to pause and think about what family really means. Especially because not everyone here has a mom. I look out here and I recognize that not all of you have a mom. And not all of you are a mom in the traditional sense. And so what's so wonderful about today's passage is that Jesus extended and expanded our understanding of family. He showed that it's not just about blood relationships. Today, for the family of God, goes far beyond just our immediate families, far beyond that. It's about a shared commitment to doing God's will. And so Jesus opened the door for us to see family as something much, much bigger, something that includes anyone who puts their faith in Him. And that's why the church is so much more than just a gathering on Sundays. It's a true family. I hope you can start thinking about church this way, if you don't already. This family of God, this spiritual family, it's a place where we can find spiritual moms and dads who will encourage us, who will mentor us, and who will guide us. This spiritual family is a place where we can find spiritual brothers and sisters who will walk with us through the darkest moments of our lives. Now, if you are part of a group here at our church, a life group, a Bible study group, a prayer group, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because I can guarantee this much, there are many here who can say that your brothers and sisters in Christ here in the family of God at Evry Church, they have walked with you, alongside you, through some of the most painful moments of your life. If that's you, can you just acknowledge that? Just nod and shake your head. If there have been those who have walked with you through the most painful, darkest moments of your life, you understand. You understand that this is what family is. No matter what your earthly family might be, your spiritual family is walking alongside you. I witness that every week. I've experienced that in my own life. We're part of this household of faith with multiple generations under one spiritual roof. You know, one of the things that you've heard me share over and over again is one of the aspects that I so appreciate most about our church is that we have multiple generations worshiping together under one spiritual roof every Sunday. I look out there and I see so many generations all worshiping together simultaneously. That's something that we should never, ever take for granted. You know, when I was in college, I majored in sociology. Because I think from a very young age, I was always fascinated by how people relate to one another in groups and from one group to another. I think for as long as I can remember, I used to always love going into elevators and just studying people. I know, that's strange. Some of you are looking at me like, what? Yeah, so from a very young age, I'd go into elevators and just, you know, just kind of like casually just think, what is that person thinking, you know? And you know what's odd is every now and then, some people who are not very self-aware, they'll walk into an elevator, and if I'm in a corner right by myself, they'll come stand right next to me. Or sometimes they'll come stand right in front of me and stare at me. And so from a very young age, I've always had this fascination with sociology, studying people and groups of people. Now, here at our church, we have a wide range of life stages. And so oftentimes I think about that throughout the course of any given week. Well, how is this group doing? How is that group doing? How are they doing together with one another? And as I think about the many groups in our church, yes, we have some life stage specific groups and some life stage specific events. But did you know that many of our groups are intergenerational? They cross many, many generations and cultures. And that's exciting, that's important, that's necessary. And in a church like ours, where we have so many generations, every now and then, You might hear people say, oh, there goes a millennial. Or, oh, there's a boomer. Oh, that Gen Zer. And so you hear terms like that, and as a sociology major, I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated by all the generations in our society. So I thought it would be fun for just the next few minutes just to kind of review the many generations in our society, and by the way, that are represented here at E Free Church. So take a look at all the generations in our society. And find where you are, okay? And now, I don't have the time to go into detail and explain all the ins and outs and all the stereotypes of all these generations, but I will kind of review these very briefly in a second. But allow me to say this. I believe maybe minus the first group, I believe our church has people in every one of these groups, okay? Unless somebody here 99 years old? 98, maybe not, okay? But I think other than the first group, we have people at every different generation here. So I'm gonna share with you just a very brief description, all right? I wish I could go in detail because I love this stuff, okay? Now, when I call out your generation, if you wanna go, woo-hoo-hoo, go for it. You're just gonna give your age away, okay? But be proud, all right? I want to hear the loudest generation, actually. Well, the greatest generation, this generation was given the name the greatest generation because they lived through the Great Depression at the start of the 20th century. And many of them in this generation went on to fight in World War II. So this is the greatest generation. Next came the silent generation. Yes, you're all silent. This is a fascinating generation. This generation was given the name silent because it was a very conforming generation. So they didn't want to make waves. They didn't want controversy. They didn't want to rock the boat. So this generation was characterized by just putting their head down and just going to work. So strong work ethic, the silent generation. Then came the baby boomers. I knew I'd hear it from you. By the way, the boomers, they are not the silent ones. Their parents' generation was like, shh, be quiet. They're like, no. Well, the boomers were given their name because after World War II, there was a boom in the population, a baby boom. And so they were part of the boomer generation. And up until very recently, the boomers were the largest generation. Up until just only a few months ago, the boomers were overtaken by the millennials. But the boomer still, in our society, is a very strong, influential group. And here at our church, we see the faithful amongst the boomers here. And not only were they characterized because of the boom in population, also during that era, they were the ones that started to stand up for causes. So there were a lot of protests. So the boomers would protest many, many causes. So there was a boom in the population, and then also that boom in just their activity. And then came Gen X. Gen X. What can I say? The greatest generation of all time. Actually, the reality is, When Gen X came around, people said, this is a very confused generation. And they actually labeled Gen X slackers. And it's a complex generation. And it's also been labeled the MTV generation. Because Gen X, we grew up in an era where the times were changing. And so MTV came about. And oh, by the way, this is an unbiased fact. 80s music is the best music in the entire history of the world. Yeah, come see me afterwards. You'll say, no, Tim, the 70s, the 60s, and so on. So you had Gen X. Okay, and by the way, Gen X parents were stereotyped as helicopter parents, hovering over their kids. Because the previous generation, for their kids, they're like, ah, do whatever. But the Gen X parents were like, no, hovering. And they made it difficult for teachers in the schools. Next, you have the millennials. That's Gen Y. Now, why would they call them Gen Y? Because Y comes after X. That's why you have Gen X and then Gen Y. Okay. And did you know that the millennials remember when Amazon only sold books? Believe it or not, once upon a time, Amazon only sold books. And this was the first generation that experienced childhood both with and without the internet. So the millennials, they began their childhood without the internet, and then they were introduced to the internet as children. So their childhood changed dramatically from one day to the next. The millennials are community conscious and environmentally conscious. Next, you have Gen Z, or iGen, which is the internet generation. And Gen Z was the first generation to be born into a world where they knew nothing besides a constant connection with others through digital means. Nothing else. Okay. And Gen Zers, in general, and I appreciate this about Gen Zers. Gen Zers are very accepting of everybody. And they're very mindful and sensitive. And they are extremely aware culturally, socially, and politically. And I find that fascinating because many of them in Gen Z are not even old enough to vote. But they're very conscious politically, socially, culturally. And then after Gen Z, you have Gen Alpha. You see, because they ran out of letters, they had to go back to A. but the reality is this. It's called Gen Alpha because Gen Alpha is the first generation where all of its kids were exclusively born in the 21st century. Gen Alpha. And Gen Alpha, they don't know a life before social media. So for those of us who are Gen X or boomers or others, I hope we can understand the mindset that they don't know anything other than social media. So what that means is social media is breathing. It's breathing. They don't know anything else. And so that hopefully that informs us so that we're more mindful and sensitive when we communicate with those in Gen Z. Because this is life and the only life, I'm sorry, Gen Alpha, that they've known. And then you've got Gen Beta. What can I say about Gen Beta? Nothing. I don't know anything about them. They were just born last week. So to be continued, we don't know. But this much is true. Gen Beta will be far more tech savvy than anyone else in the entire history of the world. So be prepared. So, what does this mean for E-Free Church? Why do I share this? What it means is this. To effectively minister to this family of God and to the different generations, it is critical that we build intergenerational relationships. It is important. It is important. No one generation is better than the next. And it's tempting for us in my generation to look at other generations and say, oh, that generation, they're so this or they're so that. We all make up the household of God, the family of God. And for us to be effective ministers within the household of God, we need to foster intergenerational relationships. And again, that's why so many of our events are intergenerational. I love it when I attend a men's event, and I love it when I hear women attending women's events, men and women of every generation, four or five different generations, all together, learning from one another, growing together. And what this does is it allows for mentorship, for guidance, for learning from one another. And yes, we can actually learn even from those who are in generations much younger than we are. And so in our brief time remaining on this Mother's Day, what I want to do is this. I want to share with you just a handful of simple ways that you and I can make a lasting impact here in this family of God. Just three very simple ways. These are not profound ways. In fact, as I share these three, my encouragement is this, that you can take any of these three words of advice and apply them to your Mother's Day lunch in just the next couple hours or your Mother's Day dinner. So take these three ways that we can make an impact in the family of God and apply it right away at lunch or at dinner throughout this week. First, be a good listener. Be a good listener. Oftentimes, we're just too eager to share our own thoughts. We think, I'm going to explode if I don't get this off my chest. So I'm going to share this. The better thing is to be a good listener. Be a good listener. So at lunchtime, don't hog the conversation. Be a good listener. Listen to your family members. Listen to what they have to share. In your meetings that work this week, listen to your coworkers. Listen to their thoughts and opinions. Even if you don't agree with them, listen to them. Don't be anxious to get in the last word. So be a good listener. Second, be a humble student. That's how we can impact the family of God. Be a humble student. You know, the attitude of a student is this. I want to learn. The attitude of the critic is, I've got nothing more to learn. It's better to be a student. I so appreciate our church family because I appreciate those in generations above mine. Okay, again, Gen X right here, go Gen X. So I appreciate those in generations above mine who are hungry to learn, who never stop wanting to learn. Be a humble student. You know, over the years, I've been so encouraged by well-trained missionaries because well-trained missionaries know that before they can even minister to a particular group, they need to learn about the group. They can't go into that place thinking they have all the answers. So well-trained missionaries learn about people. They learn the language. They learn about the foods and the customs. And they also learn from others. So the same holds true for us. No matter the context, no matter what generation we are in, we can learn from one another. And then finally, I just want to end on this. Okay, so one is be a good listener. Two, be a humble student. And three, be a kind Christian. Just be a kind Christian. And this goes without saying, but the reality is we often need to be reminded that Christ followers ought to be the kindest people on the face of this earth because we are the recipients of God's kindness. Can I hear an amen? We ought to be the kindest people. No one should out-kind us. Nobody. Because we have received the kindness of God. And so at your Mother's Day lunch table or your Mother's Day dinner table, be the kindest person at the table. Because we have received God's kindness. And so my encouragement to us on this Mother's Day is that we would see family in a whole new light. And Jesus invites us to be part of that family. Would you bow with me? Thank you, Jesus, for inviting us to see family in a whole new light. And while we honor our earthly families and we cherish them, as imperfect as they are, we recognize that it's eternal relationships that last. And when you, Jesus, said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" you were inviting us into your family. And so I'd like to invite those of us here who are not part of God's family to be called a child of God today. If you would like to be included in God's family today, I invite you to say this simple but sincere prayer. God, I want to be part of your family. And today I recognize that that's made possible because Jesus went to the cross for me. So God, include me in your family today. Help me to know that I have eternal life in you through your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray these things in his name. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for loving our church. Father, today's a reminder that there is no one person who loves your church more than you do. And so thank you for being our Father. And thank you for our spiritual family, our brothers and sisters, spiritual moms and dads. Thank you for the opportunity to grow together in this family. And we pray that this family would be expanded each and every day, that we would see people coming to know Jesus. And later today, maybe as we gather with our earthly families, for those who are missing a mom, comfort them, give them peace. For strained relationships, may there be healing and mending today. For those who are celebrating their moms, help them to celebrate them and to cherish them and to make them feel so special today. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.